saved us and who kept us by and who brought us to that land so bright
and fair.
Well, and we will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over. Come on and sing now, everybody.
We will be happy. Over there, we will shout out.
Everybody
will be happy over there.
I want to say good morning, good morning. Don't be sadiddy. Good morning, good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you on this Sunday morning. It's just a blessing for me to even preach at the congregation that my grandmother worshiped and brought my father and my uncles and aunties as little children and would bring them to worship here every Sunday. It's also a blessing because when my grandmother passed, I sat right there on this side in my father's lap. Some 18 years later, my grandfather passed, Willie B. Williams. And I sat on the same side when my grandfather passed. So this place has a rich history. Some of you know me, but you don't know me. You know the tree, you may not know the fruit. And I'm hoping I'm sweet this morning. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. I definitely want to thank the invitation from Brother Davis and having the opportunity to share the word of God with you this morning. And I pray that it will be a blessing unto all those who will be able to receive the word. This morning, I'll go through various scriptures. I'll make various illustrations. But hopefully, prayerfully, the reason that we've all gathered here this morning is hopefully we'll all take a few steps closer to the cross. If you're here and you're not a Christian, please believe it's our prayer and our intention that you will give your life to Jesus Christ before everlasting too late. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care if anybody puts you down or puts you up. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ and you have not accepted and obeyed the gospel, it is our prayer and our intention that you will do that before the end of this service. In order for you to do that, you must believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And the only reason that Jesus made his sacrifice is because you are in a sinful state. But if you want to get out of your situation, if you want to get out of your state, you must believe that message and believe that he resurrected. It is at the resurrection that we rejoice, because in that he's asking for you to turn around and repent. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Repentance is a change of heart and a change of direction. And if you'll be willing to confess that he is the Son of God and be baptized, the Bible says, and by his promises and by his signature of his son on the cross, he'll be willing to wipe all of your sins away. You have the opportunity this morning to start brand new. It does not matter what you did last night. It does not matter what you did in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. If you'll be willing to accept the gospel, you can be saved on today. If you're here and you are a Christian, but maybe you're sitting in the seat this morning dealing with guilt, because maybe there's something you said, something you've done, a place that you went that you should not have gone. You have the opportunity this morning to ask God for forgiveness. It makes no sense to be in the presence of God and to leave worse than when you came. You have the opportunity, each and every one of us, to walk out of here with a pure heart and a pure mind, getting all things right and straight with God before you start this brand new week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I only need two amens. I'm good. Only need two amens. Before I dive into my text, I just want to let you know I have two deficiencies. So if you can work with me, one is a medical condition. One is a medical condition. My first medical condition, the doctors found extra wind in my lungs. It's extra wind. So sometimes I go long because I got extra. So sometimes I'm a little long winded. The other deficiency that I have is I'm not able to tell time well. And I see what they're doing, but I don't tell time well. So whenever Brother I'm asked Brother Davis just raise his hand, and that'll let me know I need to go ahead and sit. Don't y'all stare at him. Just let him do that on his own. Amen.
Amen.
Let us go to God in a word of prayer. Holy and righteous Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all of your blessings. God, have mercy on us, for we are not worthy to speak to you or present ourselves before you. But by your loving mercy and grace, we are here, and we thank you. Forgive us of our sins. Open up our hearts and our minds that we may receive the word and that we may grow thereby. In your holy and righteous name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't mind singing a song with me. This song, I like this song because I like the questions in the song. But I not only like the questions in the song. I like the song because regardless of what question is asked, it gives the same answer, regardless of the question. So if you don't mind singing a few questions and an answer, and then we'll dive into our text. The first question goes,
why did my Savior come to
Jeremiah chapter 17.
Oh, because he loved me so, and he loved Jesus, loved me so, and Jesus loved, and Jesus loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, he loved me so.
Here we are in Jeremiah chapter 17 and beginning at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to begin at verse 9. And the Bible reads, Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning at verse 9. For others, page 683. Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning at verse 9. And the Bible reads, the heart is deceitful. Above all things, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says that my heart and your heart is desperately, you ever seen somebody desperate? Like, calm down, get something, sit down. Desperately wicked. Amen. And the Bible says, who can know it? Not only is your heart desperately wicked, but the Bible says it's deceitful. Deceitful, or to be deceived, means to present one picture, but having a private agenda that's not revealed. The Bible says, when you have a conversation with yourself, you can't trust yourself. Because when you talk to yourself, you say, yes, I would like one more brownie. And you know you're not, that's not what they were supposed to do. You say, yes, I would like one more sip. Yes, I would like to taste just a little bit more. Or you know what, I don't mind. And you'll talk yourself and you'll deceive yourself. Have you ever been just angry with yourself? Because your first thought said no, but then the heart deceived itself and you engaged in something that now you're sitting here this morning and you're full of regret. But the Bible told you your heart is deceitful. And it's desperately, it's desperately wicked. I'm so thankful I don't have the gift to read minds. That way I can still like you. Jeremiah chapter 10, beginning at verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10 and beginning at verse 23. And the Bible reads, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. And then he says this, it's not in man. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So as I read Jeremiah and I realize my heart will deceive me if all I have is just me, myself, and I. I will destroy myself all by myself if you leave me to myself. And if I don't get a pure word, if I don't get something to interject in, then I'm going to be in trouble because my heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. And then the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10, it's really not in you for you to guide yourself. When God created you, he never intended that you would have all that you need to get to where you're supposed to be. If that's true for an adult, then that has to be true for a child. And as sweet as some of the children look, it's not in them. It's not in a child to direct their own steps. And if you leave a child in a room all by themselves, they will destroy themselves because you don't need anybody to mess you up. And many of us don't get right because we blame other people for our decisions. But really, it was never intended for you to be left alone.
Amen.
Matter of fact, there are parents that are in jail right now because they ran into the grocery store. And the government knows you don't leave children by themselves. But if God is my father, and even though I'm a grown man, why would he leave me by myself?
Yes.
He's my father. Matter of fact, he would not be a good parent, and you would charge him if he was to just leave me all by myself. Quickly turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and beginning at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, and beginning at verse 9. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, the Bible says, a man's heart devises his way. It's up to you to make up whatever plans you want to make. If you want to sit down and say, you know what, I want to do this with my life and I want to do that with my life. A husband can come home to his family and say, baby, I'm quitting my job and I'm making pencils. Them your dreams, them your, that's what, you know, that's your passion and that's what you want to do. Then, you know, let's go get some unleaded, you know, pens or whatever, you know, bark or whatever you need to do. Those your dreams. But the scripture says you can come up with whatever dream you want to. But the Bible says in verse 9, but the Lord directs your steps. Here's the difficulty. I can dream to do many things, but the Lord has already pre-ordered my steps. If my dreams do not align with his order, then we're in trouble. And you're praying to God, oh God, but notice, sometimes we lie when we pray. And we lie and we say, Lord, not my will, but yo, you don't mean that. You really want this to work out. Like you don't want really his will. And sometimes we lie when we say, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. But when you say that, you have to die. You have to die. I understand that because Paul said, I do this. He must have had a lot of dreams and desires, but he said, I had to die daily because once I find out what God has for me, I realize I got to get my dreams in line. Jesus was in the garden, and the Bible says he was heavy. And he told his father, Lord, I ain't thirsty. I don't want this cup. I'm good. Can somebody else drink this? I'm good. And now with silence, and we begin to realize I have to die so that I can receive what God has for me. I'm not created to be obedient, and you're not either. Obedience is not natural. Obedience is not natural. Obedience is a learned and taught behavior. So, when a child is born, you don't expect the child to understand all the rules we've made up in this world. See, I remember struggling because it was okay to scream and run around at home, but then my parents would take me to the Lord's house, and which is where I got the majority of my whoopings. We begin to realize, how is it that I can scream at home, but I'm not able? It was a new rule. Why is it I can touch this and I can't touch that? How come I can play with that little friend, but I can't play with that little friend? How come I can go over their house, but you tell me don't ever go over that house? Well, all of these rules, how come I can play with my toys, but only between this time and this time? And why is it that I have to eat this food and go to bed at this time and then wake up, but then I hit this age of my life and then the rules change? And then the parent understands, the guardian understands, I know you don't know the rule. That's why I hold your hand. That's why I guide you. It is not natural to be spiritual. It is not natural to read your Bible. It is not natural to pray. All of these are learned behaviors. So I don't expect children to just accept God naturally. Because coming to God is not natural. It is a taught and learned behavior. But somebody is supposed to lead. My parents, they believed in doing what Jesus did at communion. Breaking, praying. The breaking was me. Breaking. Praying. My parents told me when I was real young, they went into the bedroom and they had a conversation about me. And they said, he's in trouble because we see something in him that we're gonna have to get out with the Lord. And I'll never forget the conversation my mother had with me. She says, baby, you're gonna either be two things in this world. Either you're going to be a great and wonderful gangster, or you're going to be a great man of God, but you won't be both. And she said, you're going to have to make a decision. Even though we're teaching and we're doing these things, at some point, you're going to have to make a decision. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Jonah. Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. And in Jonah, chapter 1, it chronicles a man who was asked by God to perform a certain task. And when he was asked to perform this certain task, he had a certain reaction. We're in Jonah chapter 1 and beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God goes to Jonah. So Jonah, I'm with you. You're a great minister, great prophet, great man of God. There's something that I want you to do. I want to let you know that you can't stay here. I want you to go to Nineveh. So I just want to let you know, your next blessing is not here. Your next blessing is in Nineveh. Jonah, you can't stay here. Now, I've been with you all the way up to this point in this place, but I just want to let you know I'm moving, and I need you to move with me. And if you're going to be blessed again, you're going to have to meet me in the designated spot. I'll see you in Nineveh. And when you get to Nineveh, there are certain things that I desire and I want you to do. Bless you. See you in Nineveh. After verse 1, God stops talking. God stops talking. Verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, and from the presence of the Lord went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah heard what God desired for him to do, had a conversation with himself somewhere, and decided he didn't want to go. He went online, went on Carnival Cruise Ship, bought a ticket. God didn't say anything. After he bought the ticket, the Bible says he boarded the ship, and God didn't say anything. Had his little luggage, went down to the cabin, ocean view. Took his clothes out, tucked it away, everything was well, and God didn't say anything. Amen. Here we are in verse 4. But even though he didn't speak, the Lord sent out a what? A great wind. I realize something about God. He will give you direction, but he will never force you to love him. And you know what the Lord will let you do? The Lord will let you run. And you can tell yourself, when I get older, I'm not going to go to worship this much. This is ridiculous. They need just maybe once a month. I'm going all the time. And you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will let you stay home. And if you decided not that you weren't going to worship this morning, do you know what the Lord would do? Meantime, he will let you, because there's nothing about God that's forced, because God is love, and love doesn't force. Love doesn't make anybody do anything. That's why it's a wrong picture on Valentine's Day. How would you feel on Valentine's Day? A man said, come on, we finna go there. He said, no, stop. That's not what this day is about. It's supposed to be something else. Like, we're supposed to love each other. This is not supposed to be forced. So God will never force you. He will never make you read your Bible. He will never make you pray. Matter of fact, you can make up in your mind, which is desperately wicked. You can make up in your mind right now, I am done. I am good. I don't need this anymore. And do you know that God doesn't lose any power, and he's not any less truth because you decided to throw a tantrum? If I decided, you know what? I'm tired of ministry. People judging my sermon. That was okay, brother. Don't okay. I worked all week long for that. You missed the verse. Okay, work with me. Let's work together, you know? If I decided to quit the ministry and I decided to throw a tantrum, I'm through with church folk. The Lord doesn't need me. Do you understand that you don't benefit God at all? When parents have a child and the child learns to eat on their own, they learn how to walk, and they start to learn how to put on their own clothes. My brother said, praise the Lord, but when a child does that, you don't increase in wealth, not one bit. Your joy just comes from them being blessed. But it doesn't increase your bank account. You're not any wiser or stronger because they're able to do it. You don't benefit God at all. Matter of fact, the Bible says you are really just an unprofitable servant after you have done all that you were supposed to do.
Amen.
And sometimes we come to the Lord's house and say, well, he ought to be glad that I showed up. At least I came, didn't I come? Y'all see me. But you don't benefit God. Do you know being in the kingdom? God's already in heaven. He's not trying to get to heaven. So the purpose of the kingdom is only to bless you. He want to see you walk. He want to see you strong. He want to be able to see you fight off the wiles of the devil. And sometimes children don't understand that some of the things that the parents do, you're not benefiting. You don't pay light bill. So when we ask you to brush your teeth, you're not even paying the water. We bought the toothbrush. The only reason we're asking you to brush your teeth is because we want your teeth to be clean. I'm not going to get a cavity if you don't brush. When you read your Bible, you don't benefit God. You're only benefiting yourself. And that's the way God designed it. That's love. So if I decided to quit, you know what the Lord can do? By next Sunday, the Lord can go under a bridge, clean a man up, put a suit on him, and replace me by next Sunday. Because the Lord don't need me. He just want me. That's a different type of relationship. When you don't need the person, but I just want you. So I'm willing to work with you, even though I'm going to have to spend more to keep you. So I had to put my son on the cross just to keep you, even though, matter of fact, if you looked at God's books, you would say messing with us is a bad business decision. Somebody would tell God, you made a mistake. You paid too much. The Bible calls us dust.
Yes.
You call it, y'all seen that? Come on, VBS graduates. The Bible calls us dust. You can't go to Lowe's and buy dust. You can buy dirt. But you can't buy dust. You paid, God, you paid too much for dust. And God, I know what I paid. And even though I know it's not worth it, I'm just in love. Have you ever just been crazy in love? Like, I'm just in love. And she don't even look that pretty. She's not even all that. But, you know, you just... Love is blind, ain't it? Y'all ever seen something? Verse 4, the Bible says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And when he went, sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah's on the ship, and he's not where he's supposed to be. And he's trying to leave the Lord, which is a silly venture.
Yes.
Because you cannot leave a God that's everywhere.
Yes.
God decided not to show up and reveal his presence. He called a conference meeting and he asked the wind, I need you to do some work for me. The wind, as obedient, gladly went and begin to beat up the ship. The ship that Jonah was on. And the Bible says in verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship. He lay and was fast asleep. It realized that Jonah was not on the ship by himself. There were other men on the ship. So when the storm came, Jonah was asleep. But the men on the ship that didn't have a relationship with God, there's a prophet on the ship, and he's asleep, and he's running.
He's a child of God, and he's running. God could just leave him alone and go pick somebody else, but he chooses not to. Because when you're in love, you don't just let go quickly.
Uh-uh, we're going to be together.
Jonah is a love story of a father that don't want to let his son go. Sends the wind. The wind is beating up the ship. And the men that are on the ship that don't have a relationship with God, they begin to realize something's wrong. I've seen and I know
storms, but this is different.
This is different. Have you ever been in something where you just realize, wait a minute, maybe God is trying to... Y'all seen Color Purple, right? The Bible says in verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon your God. All of a sudden, this storm has made us all religious. And if you've never had a need to pray before, just keep moving. There are some punches of this world that can hit you so hard that it will teach you how to pray. And you ain't never been to Bible class. It will make you call on God. And it does not matter how old you are. There are some children that call out secretly to God for help. And you don't even know they have a better relationship with God than you. There are some storms that can break you. He's not where he was supposed to be. But now the situation has gotten worse. Because now you have people with you. And they're starting to suffer. And even though they don't have a relationship with God, they can step back and say, wait a minute. This isn't natural. Amen. This is special. Some whoopings are special. The Bible says, why don't you call upon your God, verse 6, if so be that the God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil. We've realized that this isn't just the weather. Somebody on this ship has messed up. And we're going to smoke this out. Let's cast some lots. Somebody in here is messed up. The Bible says, here in verse 7, so they cast lots, and the man of God joined in on the circle. And when the lots was cast, he didn't even stop the process and say it was me. He knew it was him, but he was still hiding. And after they cast the lots, it fell on him. He could not hide any longer. The Bible says in verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray you, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What's your occupation? Don't you want to get in somebody's business when they... What's your occupation? Where you come from? Who your mama is? What's her maiden name? I always wonder why they ask for maiden name. Why you asking? What's your country? Who your people be? Y'all see that at the end of verse? That's the end of verse 8. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why have you done this to us? Let me tell you something. It would be better if you were never introduced to God than to, after being introduced to God, to leave God. Let me say that again. It is better for you never to be introduced to God, which is difficult. But then after being taught, to all of our youth, young adults, young old adults, y'all like that? Y'all like how? all that Bible knowledge that you have, the more you know, the more God expects from you.
Amen.
And the greater the punishment.
Amen.
You can't act like you didn't know God. When you go to work on Monday, you can't act. Matter of fact, you can hide it and maybe nobody knows that you're a Christian, but how God deals with you will be different of how he deals with everybody else. And you're riding in the car with your friends and everybody's having a wonderful time and everybody's turning up, but God will send a strong wind to that place just because you're in it, and they'll be asking you to get out the car.
Amen.
All your friends, all your friends can be doing it, but when you do it, your punishment, sometimes we was young and we be playing with other kids, and I remember I was on this place, and I end up, I was a little aggressive that day, and I end up, you know, I've repented. But I ended up punching them, you know, in the mouth. We were kids, and we were all playing, you know. And my father showed up, and my father didn't want to hear the story. It was a wonderful story. But he didn't want to hear the story. Not only did he didn't want to hear the story, but he ignored all the other little kids. The only one that he wanted to talk to was me. And even if there were some others that were with me, the only one that he wanted to deal with was me. And do you know, y'all, you may be the only one in your family that's saved. And you can go and do what everybody else is doing. Or maybe you're the only one at your school that have accepted the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And nobody even cares about the things that you've been taught. But God will touch you and leave your friends alone. Because why? You are his child. And you won't understand. You said, listen, every time I do it, I get caught. And they can do it every day. The moment you decide to go, all of a sudden, you get caught. Why? Because God has his eye on you. The Bible says here is a attempt and try my best to close. The Bible says in verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea can be calm. I know that my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They didn't want to throw him over. So you know what they did? They tried with all of their energy to ride it out with him on the ship. But the storm didn't let up. So after a while, the Bible says in verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beg thee, O Lord, we beg thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for you, O Lord. They're crying unto his God. And they're praying more than him. Bible says in verse 15, so they took up Jonah. Hey, listen, man, we tried. That's what verse 15. Man, we tried. We were trying to work that thing out, but hey, man, you're going to have to leave. Yeah, you're going. Yeah, I got stuff to do tonight. The Bible says they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Notice verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and had worship service. Y'all saw I offered a sacrifice. Start worshiping after he's off the ship. That's God. That's what that's God. When you are not where you're supposed to be, you're asking for a wind. Some of you this morning, you might not be where you're supposed to be. And I know you're here, and I'm not saying you're not a Christian. But what I'm suggesting maybe is that you're not where you're supposed to be. Because your next blessing is not going to be in the club. Your next blessing is not going to be with him or be with her. Your next blessing is not going to be in the bathroom taking pictures. Your next blessing is where God has ordered you to be. But when you don't show up, you are asking for trouble. And you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will allow you to make plans. And there are some people who spend 10, 15, 20 years of their lives making plans that God never wanted them to make. And God will allow you to make all those plans, but at some point you begin to realize this isn't working. Yes. This is not where you're supposed to be. Yes. But I can't trust myself. My heart is desperately wicked. Yes. So I have to learn how to submit. So I want to share with you the decision that I made. It was right after a whooping. True story. I was walking back down the hall, meditating upon life. I went to my room and I sat down in the chair. And as I'm sitting down in the chair, I said, you know what? This is ridiculous. This is happening too frequently. Real conversation. It's a real conversation. This is happening too frequently. I said, this needs to stop. I said, but what am I doing? And I remember saying, and conversations that I had with older Christians. There was a sister that I used to sit with. My father used to be a cashmere. Her name was Sister Walters. And Sister Walters didn't play with me in worship. I didn't even know if she liked me. The only way that I knew she liked me, she gave me peppermints. But I didn't know if that was my breath or I don't know. But I remember having a conversation and saying, the older Christians would always tell me, baby, stay in the Lord. I didn't know what that meant. Stay in the Lord. They were not talking about worship service. Because Christianity is not an event. Christianity is a lifestyle. Amen. It is the way we live, how we move and breathe. And they would always say the same thing. It didn't matter who I was talking to. It's like they all talk to each other. And they would all say the same thing. Stay in the Lord. And I made a decision. And I remember I got baptized, but I really wasn't committed. I always explain it like this. The day you get married and the day you become a good wife are two different dates. Say amen, say amen. The day you become a father and the day you become daddy are two different dates. The day you become a Christian and the day you become a disciple are not the same date. I was a Christian, but I wasn't a disciple. I'm young. I got baptized in the fifth grade, and I knew exactly what I was doing. I understood the gospel. I could explain it. I knew, and I wanted my sins washed away. But this is some years later, and I still felt like I was young, and I hadn't experienced so much, but I kept hearing, stay in the Lord. So the decision I made was, what if I listen to what they say? What if I submit and do those things that they ask? What would my life be? So I made up in my mind early on, I was going to try my best to be a Christian. Amen. And it was difficult. I'd never been to a club. I never drank. I've never smoked. I eat a lot. I didn't have sex before I was married.
Amen.
There's a lot of things I didn't experience because I chose not to. I didn't grow up in a Christian community, so it wasn't like it was easy. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have passion.
Amen.
Matter of fact, some of the most passionate people are Christians.
Amen.
And it was difficult because I had to learn to say no to myself and submit unto God. And I suffered. The other decision that I made was when I went to high school. It was my freshman year, and I made a covenant with God. I said, Lord, everybody that knows me and I have the opportunity with, I'm going to study the Bible with them. I was a freshman going into high school. As the years passed, I lost friends. I would have Bible studies, and they wouldn't talk to me anymore. I had people that would try to test. I would have people that try to push. I had Bible studies with my coaches. I had Bible studies with my teachers. I baptized a few of my teammates, and I wasn't even trying to be a preacher. I was just a Christian.
Yes.
I would get talked about. And the first time I realized what spiritual loneliness was. There's loneliness, but then there's spiritual loneliness. Because the only reason that you're by yourself is because of your faith, not because you're not sociable. I'm 17 years old, and I'm standing in my theater arts class, and my teacher has stopped teaching, and I'm sharing the gospel with my whole class standing on the chair. And people will commend you, but then after class, walk away from you because it's too much. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. I want to be on the ship with everybody else going in a different direction. But your next blessing is not here. So I tell you this morning, you got to make a choice. And even though he'll never make you, he'll never force you. There's a song my father would always used to say, oh, and needless. Ah. They would tell me there's some things that you don't have to experience. There's some tears that you, matter of fact, if you stay with the Lord, there's some things that you don't ever have to know. It can stay on TNT. That can be their drama. It don't have to be your drama. There are some people who are going through some things right now that if you could turn around and tell her, baby, don't do what I'm doing. I don't wish my storms on anybody. If you can stay in the Lord, there's some pain that you'll never have to taste. If you can just stay in the Lord. They threw Jonah over the ship. And after they threw him over the ship, the Lord let him sit there a few days. After he came out, I always wondered, why did God just not let Jonah go? Then I realized Jonah had to be a bad preacher. Normally, you may send two or three preachers to a city to evangelize the city. Jonah was so cold. We only need you to show up. We talk about his disobedience, but there was something inside of him. Do you know there's something inside of each and every one of you? And maybe that's the reason God is sending a storm, because you pray better when you cry. I love the way you worship when your heart is broken. Matter of fact, you work better and serve better when you're sick. I don't like you when you're healthy. when your home is being broken. I love the way you prostrate on the floor. You didn't even think about fasting until your heart was broken. Sometimes God will keep the storm over because there's something inside of you that he won't let go. And it's not just you. It's the gift that he gave you.
Amen.
For all of our youth, God won't let you go. God won't just let you just walk away and he won't do anything. He got his hand on you.
Amen.
But the Bible is a love story. So you know what he's waiting for? He's saying one day, I know you may not be interested right now. Bible may be boring. You may not understand why we worship. But if you just stay with me, maybe one day you'll fall in love with me.
Amen.
That's a God kind of love. Because I'd have left you a long time. You ain't going to call me back? We good. I showed up and you didn't. Okay. But God said, I'll stay here. And I'll keep my arms and my hand reached out. And I know you don't love me right now. I know you probably don't understand me right now. But if you'll be willing to, I have some blessings and I have some gifts to give you. I cannot talk about the power of God without talking about the gifts of God.
Yes.
So I went through various scriptures and I made various illustrations. But hopefully and prayerfully, the reason we've all gathered here this morning is that we can take a few steps closer to the cross. If you are here and you're not a Christian, you're not where you're supposed to be, and you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing. You're going places that you know you're not supposed to be going, and your conscience is bothering you. But for some reason, you realize this isn't it, because at some point it gets old.
Amen.
At some point, you got to get tired of crying. At some point, you got to say, you know what? This needs to change. So there's a song that we would sing, Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Because you cannot get to where God wants you to be all by yourself. You're going to have to submit and let him guide you. But the only way to do that is you must begin a relationship with him. He died on the cross so that you can have an opportunity to start all over again. So if you will be willing to believe that he loved you so much that he put himself on the cross, and he's asking for you to turn around. Repentance is a change in direction. If you would be willing to turn around, confessing that he is the Son of God, and by his commandment. Do you know the first time you meet Jesus spiritually? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that the body of verse 5, that the body of sin will be destroyed, but then you are buried with him.
Yes.
The first time you spiritually meet the Lord is when you accept the gospel. The Bible is made up of two major contracts. We call them testaments, Old Testament and New Testament, but they're contracts. That wasn't terminology, but it's a contract. So you study an old contract and then you study the new contract. God signed the new contract when he put his own son on the cross and signed it in blood.
Yes.
And here was with the promises. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And if you follow me in my Father's house, it was enough to be a servant. But if you'll be willing to accept the gospel, he'll make you an heir.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you will receive an inheritance, and you only receive an inheritance if you're part of the family. So he says, I'm willing to make you part of the family, even though you don't deserve. But if you're willing to die, be buried, and be born again, we can do this. And in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And there's a room for you. When you come to Christ, he gives you salvation. He gives you heaven. It's up to you to lose it. That's why when a person gets baptized, they scream and they shout, I'm saved. You have every single promise when you accept the gospel.
Yes.
But you got to hold on and don't let go.
Yes.
You can't leave the Lord.
Yes.
You've seen people go out in the world, come back 20 years later, give a testimony. It's good to be back in the Lord. Ain't nothing out there. It's good to be back in the Lord. You can either hear what they have to say or you can experience what they've already said. I'm asking for you to choose the first.
Amen.
If you're here and you are a Christian and you've been taking your faith lightly, you're here, but you're running from the Lord. You're not doing the things you're supposed to do. And maybe your home is suffering because of it. Maybe your children are suffering because of it. Because you're supposed to be teaching them and you're supposed to be guiding them. It was never in the mind and intention of God that the parents were supposed to throw children at the church. It was always in the mind of God that the parents would lead the children. And maybe you may be running from your responsibilities. Maybe you're not where you need to be. And many times I realize that there are parents that don't lead and teach their children about spiritual things because they don't know themselves. Lord forbid if one of them little kids asks a question. We're in trouble. When you're not where you're supposed to be, you cause other people to suffer. So this morning, maybe it's time to repent. Maybe it's time to get right. There should be no reason that we should not all leave this place this morning in good standing with God.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to be where you want me to be.
Yes.
Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I just want to be where you want me to be. This invitation is now yours. I pray that you receive it with your whole heart as we together stand and sing a verse of a song.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart.
Lord,
I want to be a Christian in my heart.
If there's anything on your heart, if there's anything that you need to let go, if there's a direction that you're going that you're not supposed to be going, this is your opportunity to repent. This is your opportunity to turn around. God forbid if he's been working with you and he's been patient with you, but you're choosing not to accept, this is your opportunity this morning. Come to the Lord and turn around.
Lord, I want to be more loving.
If there's guilt, if there's sorrow, he loves you so much, he wants you to turn around. He wants you to come to him.
Lord,
I want to be